She got her middle finger up.
At a far-right rally in Berlin, Germany, Patrick Strickland is following a 70-year-old woman. She gives neo-Nazis the middle finger. They reply with death threats. On this episode of The Debrief, we hear the story of Irmela Menzaschram, who has made a lot of enemies. And we take a closer look at Germany's far-right scene ahead of September's general elections. From Al Jazeera English, I'm Logan Cicolintinan. Patrick, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me more about Irmela. Who is she?
Irmela is a 70-year-old retired teacher who's become sort of famous for going around for the last 31 years and painting over or defacing neo-Nazi propaganda or far-right propaganda. Could be anti-refugee stuff. It could be actual, you know, neo-Nazi stuff that's like pro-Hitler and so on. Sometimes it's stickers, sometimes it's graffiti. So sometimes she's painting over it, sometimes she's scraping the stickers off. She's always carrying that in her purse, the scraper, a marker, nail polish remover, sometimes paint. So she's always got something in her purse, so she's prepared to spring into action if she sees something like that.
This is one of the photo albums documenting her various actions. Since 2nd of February 2017, she took 106 photos of neo-Nazi propaganda graffitis she altered or stickers she scraped off. And she has 88 such albums.
As not all of us speak German, we are using the actual translation from the field, thanks to Patrick's fixer, Natalia Miletic. So 88 albums over 31 years. Wow, I mean, that's almost as many years as you and I have been alive, Patrick. But how does her story begin?
So she was already somewhat social activist in the 70s, moved to Berlin, I think, in the late 60s or early 70s, and was involved in progressive activism. And she was a teacher. And then she said one day, I think in either 1985 or 1986, she was on the bus on her way to work. And she was looking out the window and she just saw something that, I think it was a sticker or a poster that was harkened back to Hitler or something like that. So it was a kind of neo-Nazi poster. And so she quickly got off the bus spontaneously without really thinking and destroyed it. And then she said, she laughed about it. She said, because she was late to work that day. And then when the principal asked her why she was late, she said, well, I saw this poster and I had to do it. And he was like, oh, okay, no, it's fine.
Back to the present, Irmela took you along to an anti-fascist rally in Berlin. How was that? I'm thinking of this cool situation, like going to a protest with your grandma.
Yeah, although she's nothing like my grandmother. We took the bus with her from her home to the train. Then we rode the train with her. Along the way, she just kind of talked about different stuff that she had done over the years and, different stuff that happened to her protest, and also some of the shock that she had when places like CNN and also Al Jazeera and, were coming to her and they were interested in her story. But then almost the moment that the train kind of grinded to a halt, the protest was actually out back behind the train station where we were getting off. And so it was almost like she just darted off the train and immediately found a group of of skinheads, who had a whole load of neo-Nazi tattoos and stuff on their arms. And so they were very visibly, their politics were obvious.
They are Nazis, yeah.
And she kind of ran up to them and just started screaming,
Gegen Rassismus! Gegen Rassismus! Gegen Rassismus!
Throwing her middle finger in their face.
Scheiß Nazis!
They just stood there kind of shocked before they could react. And then by the time they were able to say anything, she was already on her way, down the escalator and out the back door to the protest where that was at.
Take me to the scene of the rally.
I think there's this general principle that held true there. I mean, it's not always the case, but in my experience covering far-right rallies, it was pretty common where the anti-fascists just outnumber the far-right people by a huge, huge number. There was a far-right rally. It was like a kind of disparate group of a whole bunch of different political organizations that ranged from the Alternative for Deutschland, the far-right populist party that's more mainstream, to actual neo-Nazi groups, and there were some people we saw in the crowd wearing hoodies that had written on the front National Socialism, which obviously is illegal in Germany because of the country's history.
Okay, before we go further to Irmela receiving death threats, we need to take a moment and understand who some of the players from the far-right scene are.
We are kids that grew up in a time with, like, the generation of 68, brought a lot of liberal things into society, but we just see that because of migration and because of the growing influence of the Islam in our culture, we see that we have to defend parts of that society that should not necessarily be defended.
This is Robert Timm. He's the spokesperson of the identitarian movement. So here we have a guy praising the 1968 liberal movement and then denying it for others.
The legacy of the 1968 movement in Germany and Europe at large and the United States was even broader than just liberalism in many ways. I mean, there was a really radical leftist strain that pushed for a sort of social liberation that hadn't been there before. It was a very liberatory strain of politics. So it's a little bit ironic that this movement would be cited by somebody who's espousing basically, you know, mass deportations of Muslims and refugees, shutting the borders. But I think that's intentional. I think a lot of that's for media showmanship to try to basically paint themselves as progressive against these supposedly regressive leftist and refugees who believe in a world with no borders and so on.
But getting into these discussions about gender, queer, making gender-neutral toilets and pushing on integrative actions for migrants and all that, this is not affecting me. It has nothing to do with me. Why would I give a shit?
What they do are a lot of direct actions, very controversial stuff, very provocative stuff. Last year in the fall, they climbed the big Brandenburg gates and they unrolled a banner, a giant banner that said something like, secure our borders to secure our future or something like that.
It's not unrealistic to think that native Germans will be a minority in the future. I think we have every right to just make sure that we stay the majority here in Germany, just for also the not only the demographic but the democratic aspect, right?
They're not a huge organization, though they seem to enjoy a pretty cozy relationship with the Alternative for Deutschland, which is the far-right populist party expected to, for the first time, enter the Bundestag later this year.
There is a big difference between what we think Christianity is about, you know, like supporting traditional families, things like that, and what left-wing people say when they say gender mainstreaming is important, you know, and that there is not a gender, there's not such a thing like men and women, it's all just one, and maybe today you feel like a man, but are you sure tomorrow you might feel like a woman, you know, and it's all just...
That was Annette Schuldner. She's a member of the AfD, defines herself as a conservative. Patrick, there's a lot of talk about this party. Why is that?
To kind of sum up this party and what they are, they're the clean polished version of the far right. They're not in the streets doing Sig Hails. They're not, out burning refugee centers, but they are flirting with incitement. They're not going to be out there saying, you know, we should be killing refugees or something like that. But they will, you know, engage in a lot of rhetoric where they say things like, this refugee is a threat to you and your national identity. So, I mean, it could be one day Muslims who are on the chopping block and the next day it could be trans people. All of these things, I think they view as somehow irregular and, alien to German culture or what they perceive to be German culture.
So these are, at least in part, the people that Irmela is fighting against.
And Irmela was there on the front row the whole time, middle finger up in the direction of the far-right demonstration and yelling and chanting and mocking them kind of throughout the whole thing and just smiling and laughing as she did it. By the time it was over, Irmela, I kind of expected her to want to go home, but then immediately she was like, okay, now we have to go look around in the neighborhood and make sure that they didn't leave behind any more graffiti or stickers. And so we followed her around as she went and she scraped you know, far-right stickers off of light poles. She found a place where it said refugees not welcome, and she just covered over the knot, so it said refugees welcome.
Patrick, what Ermela does must be hard work, I guess, especially for a 70-year-old.
Ermela, she wears a brace on her hand now because recently a doctor told her that she had something similar to carpal tunnel syndrome. So that's just an injury that accumulated over the years of painting over graffiti so often. I mean, she says that she won't walk past a single, you know, neo-Nazi scribble or racist manifestation of graffiti without covering it or coming back to deface it. Obviously, she's done it for a long time, 3 decades, and it's taken somewhat of a physical toll on her wrist.
How's the reaction to what she does?
There's been a lot of really positive and interesting media coverage, but also she recalled several instances in which she got death threats from neo-Nazi people.
Also, Drohung per Telefon.
She was threatened and intimidated over the phone by someone saying, once Germany is free, she will have to seek asylum in another country because there will be no place for people like her in free Germany. Per post, she received photos of her wearing a hijab, looking like a Muslim woman, with the message, out with what doesn't belong in Germany. Someone also made stickers picturing her head being cut off.
She's also been attacked in protest. She's been followed by people before. And just last year, it was her court case in which she had actually been charged with something along the lines of vandalism for painting over neo-Nazi graffiti. The judge tried to get her to say that she was sorry and she wouldn't do it again. And then she said, I'm not sorry and I'm going to keep doing this. And then she ended up having to pay a fine.
Patrick Strickland is putting a lot of work into documenting Europe's far right and the people fighting against its resurgence. You can find all of his features on aljazeera.com. And one more thing before you go. If you like this, rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. It'll help other people find us easier. Also, drop a comment. We love to hear your feedback. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.